So today we are from the liberation of the palm, okay? The last chapter we have spoke, I think we come from the page number, what page number in the liberation of the palm?
Yeah, it's on page number 429.
Okay, just ask them that. That's, oh, we will look from there, okay? So what will we do is that first maybe we will start from there. We will talk from that, okay, the remaining part of the last time, okay? Remaining the last time we spoke about the Four Noble Truths, okay? So that is the, from last time we spoke about that, isn't it? We spoke about the Four Noble Truths. So what will we do is that, okay, we will resume from that, okay, part, Four Noble Truths. So last time what we spoke, okay, for Four Noble Truths, so maybe we will resume from the that part, okay, Four Noble Truths. So that's why you can see in the text, can you see in that in the text about the test, I think there's a test written by the Maitreya, the illness to be the diagnosed, it goes to be abandoned, health is to be achieved, the medicine is to be relied on. Can you see that word?
Yes, Ramachan.
So here again, it's talk about the, it's you can see here, it's talk again, talks about the Four Noble Truths. So it's you like the example, that the example, so it's in the illness should be diagnosed as the, when the person is a sick, first we have to understand the, what is the, what kind of the illness that person is having. Then what you have to know is that the illness should be, find the cause of the illness. The finding the cause of the illness, then only then you can apply the medication, then you can take the medicine. So in that you will see that the so I think it test is from the Maitreya Buddha, isn't it?
Yes, Ramuji.
So you can tell that it's a Maitreya Buddha test, yeah?
Yes, Ramuji.
So this is the Maitreya Buddha test. So you will see that the first, the one thing is that what we have to do, the first thing is that we have to, what we have to do is that we have to know that the, our illness. So knowing the, our illness is something like that, the first we have to, what we, most important thing is that the, we have to know that the, we are in the samsara, we are in the suffering. Facing the suffering and the difficulties, yeah. You will see that the, it's in the later part, it talks likewise suffering its cause, cessation the part to be diagnosed, abandoned, and reach and the relied on. Can you see the later part? Okay, later part of the dead word. So it's just like that, we look at one patient. When the patient is sick, what you have to do, first you have to find it out, know that the, what kind of the illness that person is having. Then the second step, is that person have to find it out the cause of the, that illness. So this shows the true truths, truth of the suffering and the cause of the suffering. This is just like first two truths. So this is something like that when you look at a patient, when the patient is not accepting that, the patient is not acknowledging that the, he is having the, any problem or that he is having the disease, then the treatment cannot be started. First of all, that the patient have to accept that the, he is having the disease, he is not feeling well, then only the treatment can start. So that's why if you generally, if you look at the illness in the physical or mental illness, now the modern time, the most psychologists, they are bringing the more and more mental disease in the disease in the medical field, because they want to make a more patient. So as I told you last time, when you cannot focus very properly on the one object, single object, more than the minutes on one, you cannot focus properly, when you cannot concentrate properly, then they will call, they will say that from the psychology point of view, they will call it ADD, attention deficit disorder. This is a mental disorder. It means that now you are mentally, you are sick. So right now, the one very new thing is that just maybe weeks back when I was Switzerland, again, I found one of the more mental disorder. Very strange when they call it in the working place, when the person said a lot of the work pressures, sometimes they make it like a little bit, when they cannot act it on time, then they call it so now the one more disorder, mental disorder they used to call it. You got my point, form. Hello, in
yes,
here,
Ramuja. In the, yeah, I can hear, can you hear? I didn't get
yeah,
it.
Okay, in here, that the, again, I found the one more mental disorder, what that I've never heard it before. They call, English term, they could just call it the burnout or something like that. It means another one more the mental disorder. I never heard like this mental disorder before. So this is something like that. So my point is something like that. So when you're mental disorder, now the persons who accepted it, okay, fine, now I am mentally, I'm sick, then only the treatment can start. Something like that, the most important thing, the patient first, he have to know that he is having the, any of the physical difficulties or physical illness. This is the first thing we have to realize, that for the patient, it's the first thing to realize that, yeah. Now, then the second thing we have to find is the cause of that your illness. Same thing in the samsara, we have to know the sufferings. Then we have to know the cause of the suffering. I think that is one story in the liberation of the palm. I think maybe story will come later. So maybe so. So that is the true truth. Huh? Then the, you will get same thing like that. Then the, what you have to do when you have to get rid of the illness, then what you have to do? You have to take the medicine. So that's why the path is what there are many paths. Many paths, now the what path. So this every path stages of the path is mentioned in the Lamrim. So the Lamrim is, so here the path, it was stages, a lot of the stages of the path is mentioned here. So Lamrim is something like a Bible for the Christian. So Lamrim, the same as it's for the practitioner, it's really like a Bible, just like a Bible for the Christian. So because now the path is a Buddha have mentioned the third, I think this is the path. The path is something like that when the Buddha was talking about the path to overcome the old, the overcome the abandon the samsara, he have not made any stages or stages of the path. He have mentioned many different, in the many different texts. The Lamrim, they just compile the all the path and make it like a stages. First, what you have to practice. Second, what you have to practice. Third, what you have to practice. Make like a stages. So like a Bible, when the Jesus gives a lot of the teachings, but later, after the death of the Jesus, Luke and Matthew, they, John, they started to compel or they started to get the right, the old, what the Jesus have said. Same thing, the Lamrim is like a same. Lamrim, there are the many practices. These all practices are very interconnected. It is like a, these all practices are like a spider web. When you move the one thread, it will affect the all others. So something like that. Something like that. So path is Lamrim. So most of people feel that to practice the Buddhism, just chanting the one single mantra, just doing the prostration, feels that that's the practice. They are getting the only one part. That is not sufficient. You have to, whatever you do, that you have to get it, the all the practices. Time is not important. Duration is not important. What you do is so you have to do it the very, very right. Okay, so this is the point, okay? So now the what you have to do is that, now here then the path is just like the medicine to overcome the disease. So overcoming the disease, when you are filled, when you become the healthy or when you become very healthy, it's like a the third truth, the truth of the cessation, it means a liberation. So liberation is, as I told you before, few that don't think that the liberation means that you have to born in the, some other place or something like that. You don't have to think like that. Liberation you can achieve in any time. That the only that you have to achieve the liberation from the inside. When you have a transform from the inner transformation, it's called the big inner transformation, which right now the we have the state, we are having a lot of the negative emotions and the negative thoughts. When you have changed that state into the way we generate the only the positive thoughts, where the which state we don't generate any of the negative thought, that state we call the liberation. Okay, so this is like that. Now in the liberation palm, you can see that later on. Now you will see that after that sentence, I think you can see that the sentence of the Lama Tsongkhapa, one word, isn't it? After that,
yes, Rinpoche.
Yeah, can you just tell them that this word, Lama Tsongkhapa word, you can see that, no? That if one does not think hard about the true drawbacks of suffering, yeah, can you see that? Yeah, so here it's the one thing that's thinking the sufferings. The saving the suffering is the two things. Usually, the whenever we think the suffering, mostly important, so we have to think the suffering of the others. That's the most important thing. Normally people always think the suffering of their self, happiness of the other. We always do. So that's why we cannot see the happiness of the other. So we will think only the suffering of the self and the happiness of the other. We have to, actually, when you do the Dharma practice, we have to change. Think the suffering of the others and the thing, the happiness of the self. Then you will feel how lucky you are. If I just ask the two questions for the yourself, what you don't have, what you just think of what you don't have, so many things comes in your mind. When I ask you the what you have, few things will come in your mind. Actually, it's the same. You have a lot of things you have or a lot of things you don't have. But the mentally, people will see the most of what they don't have. So that's why here he talks about the thinking the suffering. It's the things the suffering of others. Then it will, as I told you last time, then it will help us to generate the compassion. Then you will see that the, whatever you face is the suffering. You will feel that it's not a big, also having this suffering. So right now we always see the happiness of the other. When you heard that someone's went to vacation, so you will feel how maybe they are enjoying or like that, how they are having a good time. Yeah. So this is something like that, the what we are having all the time. So we think about the happiness of the others. we are thinking a lot of happiness, we will not think the suffering of others. That's here it talks about how we have to think the sufferings of others. Then it will help us to generate the more compassion towards others. So that's why now the second and the third line, you can see the if one does not think of the source of the gateway of the samsara, one cannot know the proper cutting the root of the samsara. Proper, the root of the samsara is ignorance. The root of the suffering is the ignorance. So we have to think of the negative points of the ignorance, because the ignorance, a lot of the sufferings comes also that from ignorance the samsara starts. Few days back in the one of the teaching session, one young girl asked me the one question. Really very, that's a question, sharp question. Really, in that moment, I have to just think for the 4 or 5 minutes, just thinking and thinking to give the answer. So she told me she wanted to ask the one of the personal question, my personal question. Then she asked me, what is the most valuable for you in your life? So really, 3-4 minutes, really, I could not answer it. So I was thinking and thinking. So yeah, so thing is like that. So the point is that they're so valuable. Some in the every person's people's life, they have something, they're very valuable things, many valuable things. Yeah. So she asked me what is valuable in my personal life. After 3-4 minutes, I think very strongly. Then I found out that really the what is valuable for me. Her question, while I'm thinking the answer for the whole question, it just like a turn on the light in my mind. Up till there, I have not noticed that what is really valuable for me. After thinking, really, then I feel that who is the really, really valuable for me.
Yes, pardon me, Mochi.
The whole question is just like, it's just a switch on the light in my mind. Really, it just sharpened my mind that I really got the answer after thinking the few minutes, you know. Okay. So that just like I feel like a really the switch on, like a light in my mind. So, question. Yeah, that.
It is like what, Rinpoche?
It's just like when you switch on the light, so you will see very clearly. No, so it just like become the just turning on the light in my mind. Yeah, whole question that. Yeah. So later on, I find it out. Really, I'm thinking that to find it out that what is valuable. Then I found it that really in the life, the most valuable thing is the person who trusts you. Person who trusts me, really, they are very well, valuable for me. So everyone, I think it's a life of same person who really trusts on you and 100%, they are really valuable for you. So if I ask this question to the Buddha, definitely, I think Buddha will see the Ananda. Because Ananda is the person among the Buddha who trusts the Buddha, really the 100%. All the time, he was on the side of the Buddha. So one time Buddha was going with so many students, he was traveling for the begging the food. That time suddenly the one of the elephant attacked. All of the Buddha students run away from the Buddha. Only the Ananda was accompanying with him. So that incident make so many people surprised and ask the Buddha why it happens. Because all the students are left at you. But why the Ananda has not left at you when the elephant attacked? So that incident. So then the Buddha have started a very long story. Hold the back long story. So after the death, the young girl asked me that question. I thought that if I ask this question to the Buddha, I think the Buddha will tell the Ananda, most valuable thing. So same thing in our life. There are a lot of these people who trusted you very much. They are very valuable, what I feel. For them, what we have to do? We need have to care for them. To care for them, what we need? Compassion. To compassion toward them, what we need? We have to understand the suffering of the others. You can win the trust of the others with your action. That is the only way. With your right action, you can win the trust of the other. When your action is not proper, then you have to ask again and again that the person, will you trust on me or not? When you do the right action, you don't have to ask whether people trust you or not. People will trust you. So now here it comes at the root of the samsara. Now the root of the samsara, you can see the fourth line. One cannot know the proper cutting the root of the samsara. One cannot know, means once we don't know the root of the samsara, then we cannot get liberated from the samsara. Root of the samsara is ignorance. So now that here the root of the samsara is ignorance. So now you can see that after that verse, you will see that one point. No, after that verse, you will see the one point features. Okay, can you see that in the feature? The four truths have 4 different features.
Yes, Shimuchi.
Can you see that again? The 4 features of the first truth. Yeah. Can you see that on 4 features?
Yes, Shimuchi.
Now that you can see the first truth is a 4 feature. This is the most important features. This is the most important. You can see the impermanence, suffering, emptiness, selflessness. These 4 features comes the main idea of the Buddhism, philosophical idea. Impermanence as it changes, everything can be changed. It will not remain there forever. I think I told you last time, it gives a lot of the courage in our mind when we know that the suffering and the difficulties not remains there forever. So it means that sooner or later, the suffering will end. Through thinking that way, we will get a lot of the courage. So that is something like that. The changes comes. Some changes very comes are very obvious. Some changes, it is not very obvious. But slowly, it's coming the changes. I will give you the one example. There is one bamboo tree. Vietnam, I don't see the lots of bamboo trees in Vietnam. Do you have?
Yeah, we have a lot of bamboo trees.
Where, which side? Which part, north or south?
I have no idea, exactly.
No idea how you can say there's a lot of bamboo trees. I see.
Because we have a lot of things made of bamboo.
That's a very good logical reason. Yeah. I think your Vietnam state is made of the bamboo, isn't it?
Yes, a lot of things made of bamboo.
So this is one bamboo tree. Usually that bamboo tree in the 5 years, it will not grow that much. One particular bamboo tree, okay? After the five years, within the 6 weeks, it will grow very long. Now here's the one question arises. Up till the 5 year, it will not grow. It will just remain the more or less same and same. After the 5 years, suddenly within the 6 weeks, it will grow very long. Now here comes the one question. Really, when it started to grow? 5 years before or after the 5 years? It's the obvious. It started to grow from 5 years back. There's something is happening, but obviously we are not seeing it. There's something is happening in this within the 5 years. So same thing like the impermanence. All the time it's changing, but some not very obvious changes. So we are not realizing. Example: when I have a lot of the white hairs, this when it started to become the white. So many years back, the processes have started to become the white. Processes have started, but obviously it comes maybe years back. I mean, a few years back. Now. I mean, like 2 days back, I met one gentleman. So he's more or less 3 or 4 years older than me. So his hair is very black. So I told him that your hair is very black. You look stone like older than me. He told me that he colored his hair all the time. Yeah. So the point is that all this is impermanent side like that, everything is changes on the time. Every moment it's changing and changing. But the obviously changing, only we see when your hairs become the very white, then only we will see. When I started to become my hairs white, the process have started so many years back. It started, but there's a good changes. They're not obvious changes going on, but the obvious changes only come when we see, like that bamboo tree. This is one story. This is a very famous story of the Sufi. One of the Sufi is one tradition, one of the Sufi master. This is a one master of the Sufi tradition. This is a very different tradition in the Middle East. Okay, Middle East one tradition master story. So it's something like that. So that's the master when he visited the king's palace. Front of the king's palace, he shouted and said that he want let him in. He want to go in the guest house. Guest house, he shouted that. Front of the king's palace. When he was entering the gate of the king's palace, yeah. He said the gatekeeper, when he was stopped by the gatekeeper of the king's palace, so he shouted and said that he wanted to go in the guest house. So when the king's the palace, in that palace, the gatekeepers of the king's palace all told him, this is not a guest house, this is a king's palace. So still that master is shouted and say, no, this is a guest house, I want to go in the guest house. So then the soldiers and that master have a quarrel. They started the quarrel. When they started the quarrel, the point is that the soldiers always try to convince that master this is a king's palace. And the master is always trying to convince the soldiers who blocks him to enter the king's palace, to convince them that this is a guest house. While they're having the quarrel, while they're quarreling to each other, the king heard their quarrel and asked the soldiers to let the masters come in. So then what happened? So what happened is that now the king is on. Then king asked the master that why you are shouting and why you are saying this is the guest house. This is not a guest house. This is my palace. So then the master told the king that I have a few questions. So then the king asked, the master asked the king the first question. He asked that when I come here the 20 years back, you are not on that throne. Who is that person on that throne? Then the king said, that is my grandfather. So then what happened is that then the master asked the second question and said, when I come 10 years back, you are not on that throne. There is someone else is sitting on that throne. Who is that person? Then king said, that is my father. Then Then the master told, okay, now I got the answer. Now, if I come after 10 years, you won't be on that throne. Someone else will sit on that throne. So I used to say that this is a guest house. Everyone comes and go. Same thing like this, one impermanence. It's a one bigger picture. If you look at the impermanence, bigger picture. Bigger picture is something like that. We are all just like a guest in this world. Only the thing is the time duration. Maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, ultimately we will leave. That is the bigger picture of the impermanence. This is like we are visiting. Millions of the people visited this world, left this world. Also, in the future, so many people will visit, come in this world, and they will leave this world. This is the bigger picture of the impermanence. We are also one part of it. We are just coming in this world. Maybe we have stayed maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. One day we will leave this world. So bigger picture of the impermanence. So this is a bigger picture. So we will have to leave one day of this world. At the time of the leaving this world, what we have to do, that I always used to stay. We have to live properly, happily. That's what we can do. Yeah. So that happiness will not provide from the someone else. That we have to get it. We have to find it. So that is what we have something to do. They do not provide. Okay. So yeah. So that's why now that this is the bigger picture of the impermanence. So impermanence, bigger picture, that is the one reality. We all have to accept it. If you look at the time, it passes very fast. Even if you look at the time, it moves very fast. We live in the time. So when the time is moving very fast, then it shows very clearly that even we are moving very fast. So from this impermanence point, there are the many of the we can think with the Einstein theory of the speed limit of the time and the Buddhism point of view, how we define the impermanence, there are many similarities. So yep. That's why the Einstein theory, I think, it comes of that we can decrease that speed at the time, no? Yeah. Okay, so this is the one picture, okay? Impermanence is one of the Buddhism point of view. We can look from the many different angles for the impermanence. What I talk is a bigger picture of the impermanence is something what I told that later. Then it comes to suffering. Suffering is a button. Now that it's look at the suffering. But it's a very strange. When the Buddha was talking, the first point, he was talking the suffering. One point, when you talk of the suffering, everyone feels that we know the suffering. But in the reality, if we go very deep level, still we are not understanding properly the suffering. First of all, then have you all just tell the page number and tell the line, okay? Which line, which paragraph and the page number, that are four features, okay, of the first truth.
Yes.
Yeah. So when we were a kid, we used to go to the class. Sometimes we could not pay the attention and the fall asleep. The teacher will ask the directly question. So he will ask me the what I say. Yeah. I remember the one time in the class, when our class, that is a class of the one class. So I fall nearly asleep in that class. I was very, maybe I was maybe 12 or this years old, 12 or 13 years old at that time. I fall asleep in the class. So I fall asleep and still suddenly when my master asked some question, when I was just wake from the sleep, suddenly when I wake was still I could not answer my master's question. So he laughed quite a lot. When he laughed, other student also started to laugh. Something like this. So this is something like that. So you look at the pages, okay, while I'm there explaining, okay. Now the fourth pages, isn't it? Now we are talking about that. Now the fourth is a suffering, and that's impermanence. Then is a suffering, isn't it? Yeah. This incident, I think it's when I was 12 years old or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. So 12 or maybe 11 years old. I think I was 11 years old. That newly when I started the philosophy class, I think it's 11 years old. So yeah. Now the fourth character is a suffering. Yeah. So sometimes we will not understand the suffering properly. Yeah. So now the Buddha, when he was talking of the truth of the suffering, he told the real the suffering. When he had to find the real suffering, he told that the human physical body, that itself is a real now the suffering. He felt that. For the sake of the human physical body, we have to eat, we have to drink. So a lot of things we have to do. Not only the eat, we have to eat the what is good for the health, no? So we have to eat a very nutritious and the very right food. Now I'm really confused with the health food. Every country have a different of the healthy foods. Now I'm really confused that which is a real the healthy food. So really the what healthy food? Really now I'm very confused. So everyone have a different ways of saying the healthy food there. So I think at the end of Taiwan, they used to have a lot of things that they would say, this is good for this, this is good for liver, this is good for heart. A lot of the vegetables and a lot of things, they will always say like that. Then one time I told the one thing, that you are having a lot of the healthy foods to eat, so why do you do have a lot of the hospitals? In the one street, I saw the 7 hospitals in the one street. If there are a lot of things like healthy food, why do you do need the 7 hospitals in the one line of the street? I just counted in the one line of the street. There are 7 hospitals. I think Vietnam is more or less quite same, no? Ah, this is good for this. This is good for a lot of healthy foods. Okay. The one thing, this true thing, okay, just maybe 2 months back, in the when I was 2 months back, I think two or I think it's in the June, no, when I was in Nepal, I saw the from Tibet, you know, the samba, no, Tibet, they made a one samba with packet from just come from the Tibet, from samba. This is samba is a very common food and main, I mean, the main food of the Tibetans, yeah. I just saw the one package of the samba, which from the Tibet. So I saw in Nepal. So they wrote in that samba package, they wrote while you eat the samba, it will heal a lot of the disease. Only I feel like the only eating the samba makes a very healthy. So right to the samba, when you eat the samba, it will heal. I mean, they mentioned 4 or 5 very major diseases. They told it will heal it. Then the Tibetan should be the healthiest person. It's not happening like that. One thing, it was very clear, the Buddha said, the physical body is at the truth of the suffering. So we do a lot of the things, but still we face a lot of the difficulties in this body. Because in the reality, nature of the body is at the truth of the suffering. So we cannot change the reality. That's the point. But the one thing we can do is eating the healthy foods are very important. Taking the good exercises are very important. Keeping the mental stress calm is very important. That we have to do it. But only this, we don't have to think that of making this, we will be the not 100% perfect. We can't become the 100% perfect. What we're doing, the very good things are very important. We cannot become the 100% perfect. Because the Buddha said, this physical body itself is the truth of the suffering. So we cannot change that, the reality. So once time, so when you are having the physically the disease or something like that, treatments are very important. Taking care of the, I mean, the treatment, taking, doing the exercise is very important. On the mental state, you have to think, oh, this is the reality, nature of the suffering. This is a true nature of the physical body. You have to know that. Okay, so that is now the second, fourth character. Okay, to suffering. Then it comes the emptiness. That we will come at a later point. Okay, that emptiness is the one of the main point. Of the, that we will come at the last chapter of the Liberation of Palm. That I will explain later, okay? Then it comes the selflessness. So this issue, the selflessness issue, is the Buddha was the first person he talks about the selflessness idea. Okay, so selflessness, okay, yeah. So the thing is that, so still the what I see is that this translation have a little bit complicated issue, okay? Because now this is a little complicated issue, because the what was selflessness is come the Tibetan and the effort translation, what they use for the selflessness itself is that the self what you're using, and the Sanskrit term is a little bit different, okay? This is a little complicated here. So when I told the one time that this is not right translation in the Tibetan, because I told the one time in the, just like one of the conference, more the old masters and all there, and I told the Sanskrit is not going, when the, according to the Sanskrit, Tibetan translation is not going properly. So these old masters, they could not understand that Sanskrit, so they are just looking at me. Actually, this is not going like that. In the Sanskrit translation is not like selfless. Tibetan translation is a selfless, yeah, it goes like selfless, yeah. When the Buddha was talking about a selfless, actually he is not talking like that. He is talking about, in the Sanskrit term, it used to go atma, anatma. Anatma means, doesn't mean actually the selfless. So it means that the sum of the permanent selfless, independent selfless, not the selfless, exactly, okay? Permanent selfless or something like that.
What is the meaning in the Sanskrit term?
Sanskrit term, they use anatma. Anatma means anatma for the selfless, okay? When Buddha was talking of the selfless, he's saying, not saying that there is no self. Actually, he is saying that there is no the permanent self. So I that see. Permanent self is Sanskrit term, is used for atma. Self, it's used for aham. These are two different words. So Buddha, when we talk anatma, anatma means a permanent selfless, not a selflessness. So some, I don't know the how it comes at pattern translation. It's the same exactly what you translate in the English, selflessness. From there, I think a lot of the translation, I think in the Chinese also goes same exactly as the Tibetan translation. From originally, when you look at the Sanskrit, it's not like that. So I think it's a ghost of translation, same exactly same the Chinese wu wo, they call the Chinese wu wo, English what you're saying, the selfless, Tibetan what we are saying. Now these all ghosts are very same. But when you look at originally for the Sanskrit, what's the Buddha's word? It's not like that. It's a little difference. So that's why if you look at the Muslim, the originally the text is in the Arabic, the original text. So they will, whenever the Muslim have to say the prayer, whatever, they have to look at the original one. They cannot say the some prayer which is a translated one. Because the original definition, that is the right one. That is the original text is in the Arabic. So same thing like the Buddha's, what he was, so the word, the originally he used it, that a Sanskrit term called the Anatma. Still they have the different ideas, okay, whether Buddha have give that really teaching in the Sanskrit or not, still they are the different ideas. But the from the point of the Mahayana tradition, we believe that Buddha speak the all the his teaching in the Sanskrit, especially the Mahayana teaching. So yeah, what you can see is that okay, when the Buddha was giving the teaching, so what happened is that sometimes what the term he was uses, we have to look the 2500 years back what he was talking. Yeah, so 2500 years back what he was talking is what the existing language at that time. Some of them, I mean the modern scholars, especially for the Indian, I mean the modern scholars, they used to say that 2500 years, Sanskrit has not existed at that period in India. But still some of the historians, I mean the Indian historians, they used to say that they're two different ideas. They used to say that Sanskrit exists at that time, 2500 years back, okay, that language. If you look at the general point of the world, there are many languages have extinguished, I mean disappeared. So that's why the existence, Sanskrit language exists. Because what you have to look is a non-Buddhist tradition. They are the exist the 4,000 years back, especially the Indian non-Buddhist Hindu tradition exists 4,000 or 5,000 years back. So this, the Hindu tradition is mainly based on the Sanskrit language. Okay, form. Today we become like another Dharma class. Today we become like a conference, okay? Buddhist conference. Okay, also important to understand the different ideas. So that's why now when the Buddha was also talking of the selflessness, this issue is a very new idea. Previous the Buddha, this Hindu tradition always talk of the existence of the permanent self. So when the Buddha was the first person who said that permanent self is not existed, so there it started the word the Anatma. Anatma, what is exactly, is a negative word. So he refusal of the Atma. Atma is actually, this term comes from the Hindu tradition. So Buddha refuses that idea. So it comes as the permanent selfless. So this term is very commonly shared between this term. When you look at this term, that the selfless term, especially from the Sanskrit term, it is a commonly, we have to understand the both tradition, the Buddha Buddha's idea and the tradition which existed before at that time, at that place. That's why you can see for the Christian and the Jewish, a lot of the similarity, especially when you look at the Old Testament, there are a lot of the similarities, talks about it. Why? Because it's happened in the same place. Duration is quite same, around the same time. So that's why they are sharing a lot of the common ideas and the common basics. So same thing like the Buddhism and the Hinduism. They come to the same place. Duration was quite the same. So that's why they had a lot of the common words. So sometimes we have to understand the Buddhist point of idea. Sometimes we look in the other Hindu tradition terms. So that's why especially in the Tantra, Vajrayana, a lot of the similarities. So I think I told you a few times in the Vietnam. Okay, so that's why now we talk about self-lenses. Okay, so self-lenses is ideas. The self-lenses is this idea. So that's why the terms what you're using, the self-lenses and any other languages, I think most of the languages, I think they use the same word. But the original Sanskrit, it should be like the independent selfless or the permanent selfless. Okay, So, okay, now the self is also there are four characters, no? So we have the talking of the four character. Emptiness is the most important point that will come the later chapter point, okay? Through that practice of the emptiness, then everything main practice of the Buddhism, emptiness, okay? That will come in the later chapter, so we'll talk in that point, okay? Later part, okay? So emptiness later on, there talks about emptiness of the self and emptiness of the phenomena, two type of the emptiness. That we'll talk in the later part of the liberation point, okay? So now here in the later point, now it's talk about the four truths, and the every truths have four characters, no? So most important, the truth of the suffering having the four character, that is a very important four character in the Buddha. Later it's not that important, okay? Now after that, the second paragraph, then to talk about the three feelings, no? Aggregate about the aggregate, I mean the physical body having the three feelings in the
Yeah,
second paragraph.
where is it? Where would you?
It's in the down part, no, down part
Yeah,
there.
yes.
Saying, see that, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
So here, yeah, and you say the five aggregates, isn't it? Aggregates and talks about the four qualities of the aggregates, no?
The three qualities of
Three
four parts.
qualities, three qualities, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so you will see the fact there are three types of the feeling: suffering, equanimity, and happiness. So these are three, I mean, the usually we are having the three types of the feeling: suffering and the happiness and the equanimity. Tangyum
Miễn cảm
sikro, tangyum marve, tangyum sikro pe veke.
lo rồi một chuyện
Tangyum là cái chora sum ro wa so de wa dung e tangyum se dro equanimity se to. So maybe I'll stop here, okay? Generally the three stop, so we will stop here, okay? Okay. Thank you.